Me trying too hard. Only Ben trying not hard enough. But hey, why bother trying for a guy you barely even know? Because I guess that's how he sees me. Just some stupid tourist here to entertain him for the summer. A sudden buzz in my pocket. I've got my phone rainproofed in a Ziploc, but I duck under an awning anyway just to peek. If it's him, I'm not answering. But it's not. Surprise, surprise. It's just Jesse, swooping in for an impromptu FaceTime. I tug it out of the bag and decline it. But then I feel bad, so I text her. Sorry, am outside and it's raining. She writes back immediately. Can you go somewhere to talk? It's kind of important. My stomach drops. Kind of important. I don't like that phrase at all. It's too serious, too urgent. Maybe this is about the complicated thing. Only maybe it's not just a complicated thing. Maybe it's complicated bad news. Really bad news. And she's been trying to tell me for days. Maybe I'm a really bad friend. Give me one sec. I don't even stop to think. There's a guy in a tank top letting himself into a nearby apartment building. Hey! I call. Sorry, can you hold that? My keys are... I trail off, at a loss, but I guess I must have sold it, because tank top guy keeps his foot in the door long enough for me to slip in behind him. The lobby's kind of bare bones. No couches, not even a bench. Just a small bank of mailboxes, a fake plant, and a single wooden chair. I collapse into it, feeling clammy and strange. Jesse accepts my FaceTime immediately. She's with Ethan. They're on Ethan's basement couch. I swallow. Hi. Everything okay? Arthur, are you okay? What? I peek at my face in the little selfie box on my screen and, wow, I look like shit. Like steaming hot shit. I'm fine, I'm just wet. Okay, good. She's silent for a moment, and Ethan's not looking at me. So, I say finally, what's up? Okay, I'm just gonna come out with it. She pauses, and my throat feels thicker with every passing second. I've never seen her like this. Jess? I say softly. She takes a deep breath and then blurts it out fast. I have a boyfriend. My heart skids to a stop. What? I've been trying to tell you. She smiles nervously. I force myself to smile back. A boyfriend? Wow. I mean, this is good. It's a good thing, especially considering that 30 seconds ago, I thought she might be dying. And yeah, I'm happy for her, obviously. Even if it's a little out of nowhere. Okay, so what's his name? Well, she glances sideways. Ethan. Really? No, I mean, Ethan and I are a couple. I freeze. A couple of what? Very funny, says Jesse. She doesn't laugh. Wait, so... My chest tightens. You guys are like... a... couple? Couple? Ethan nods. Yes. With... each other? Yes. Since when? Well, Jesse smiles faintly. Prom. What? Yeah. She twirls her hair. Okay, remember that moment they were playing that Chris Brown song and we walked off the dance floor to protest and we found Angie Wally crying in the hallway because Michael Rosenfield dumped her and Ethan was like, that guy's a dick. He is a dick, says Ethan. Right, but then she starts crying harder and Arthur, you were hugging her and I just kind of dragged Ethan away so he wouldn't make it worse. Jesse bites her lip. Remember? You hooked up when I was with Angie? Kind of, says Ethan. I shake my head. No. I mean, that's what happened, Ethan says. You're telling me you guys have been a couple for 2 months? And what? You didn't think to mention it? We tried. We tried so many times, but it was always weird timing, or you were talking about Ben. Oh, right. This is about me and Ben. Of course. No, Art, that's not how I meant it. You're allowed to be excited about Ben. He's your first boyfriend. He's not my boyfriend. I snap. What? Jesse and Ethan say, in creepy near perfect unison. That seems major, Ethan says. Wanna fill us in? Weird that you don't already know, seeing as I talk about him so much. Arthur, come on, we never said that. Wow. So, Ethan and Jesse are we. That's beautiful. What a beautiful new era of our friendship. I swallow the lump in my throat. Whatever. You guys should go make out or have sex or whatever it is. Can we just talk about this? Jesse says. I don't want this to be weird. You don't want this to be weird? I laugh sharply. You're secretly dating and you didn't tell me for months, but that's not weird? Jesse sighs. We wanted to tell you right away. And we were going to, but that was, you know, it was kind of like, what are we doing? Is this going to be a thing? And we were just figuring everything out. And then Arthur, you came out to us that night. So obviously we weren't going to steal your thunder. Oh, I'm so sorry I ruined your moment by coming out. How inconvenient for you. Dude, we didn't want to ruin your moment. I stare Ethan down. And since when do you care about my moment? What's that supposed to mean? You've been weird around me since, let's see, literally the second I told you I was gay. His mouth falls open. You think I'm not cool with you being gay? So, what, it's just a coincidence that you haven't texted me once outside the group chain since prom night? Do you even realize that? I feel my eyes start to prickle. We can't even text without Jesse there to chaperone, but sure, you're totally cool with it. Ethan looks like I've punched him. I'm totally cool with it. Yeah, well, that's not... Arthur, we knew you were gay. My heart jumps into my throat. What? I mean, we didn't know, but we figured. You're not really subtle about anything. So, wait. You knew I was gay, but you pretended you didn't... Art, it wasn't like that, Jesse says. We just wanted you to be able to come out when you were ready. And you were just gonna act surprised when I told you? That was the plan, huh? No, not at all. I love that y'all had, like, a whole strategy for this. That's just great. I nod. That must have been very interesting for you guys to talk about behind my back, in between makeouts. Wow. Any more secrets you'd like to fill me in on? Arthur, God, I knew you were going to make this awkward. Oh, I'm making it awkward? You guys have been dating all summer. I know, and we tried. Listen, I'm not weird about you being gay, Ethan says suddenly. He presses a hand to his forehead. I'm weird about Jess. Okay? This is new for me too. I don't know how to do this. It's like I wanted to tell you everything, the way you do about Ben. Wow. I laugh harshly. I guess it's your lucky day then, because guess who I never want to talk about ever? No, Arthur. Ethan looks pained. That's not what I meant. Okay, this isn't... Look, I know our timing sucks, but now you know. And I guess that's... that. And I'm sorry, but dude, I just need you to know that I don't have any issues with you. I never have. It's just that we were trying to find the right way to tell you, and we wanted to do it together. And then it dragged on for so long, it started to feel like I was lying to you, and I hate that. I mean, you were lying to me. For months. Ethan frowns. But it's kind of like how you didn't want to tell us you were gay. Oh, don't you dare. I practically spit. Don't you fucking dare compare this to coming out. That is not the same thing and you know it. We know. Jesse's eyes brim with tears. Arthur, I'm sorry. Okay, you're right. You are totally right. For a moment, we just stare one another down. Ethan, Jesse, and me. I don't know, Jesse says finally. I guess I thought you'd be happy for us. I am. And I know this was a shitty time to drop this bomb, but clearly something just happened with I don't want to talk about Ben. That's fine. Art, that's fine. And I think you guys should go. Are you hanging up now? It comes out choked. Then I hug my messenger bag to my chest and cry until my face hurts.
Chapter 28. Ben. Tuesday, July 31st. The only person who should be upset on Harry Potter's birthday is Lord Voldemort. But here I am, staring at a wall while Sorcerer's Stone is on, pretty pissed off. While I was failing a quiz this morning, Samantha went over to Dylan's early to help set up. I thought I was going to walk into Dylan's apartment with Hogwarts banners hanging from the walls, maybe some bowls with color-coded candy for each house, at the very least, streamers from wall to wall. But Dylan's place is just as Dylan's as ever before. The only difference is the freshly made butterbeer in the fridge, the Bertie Bott's every flavor beans in a cereal bowl, and our t-shirts. Butterbeer doesn't take 6 hours to make. They probably had sex, napped, and had sex again. "Controversial opinion incoming," Dylan says. He takes a sip from the butterbeer, getting more foam on his beard. Pretty sure he's doing it on purpose in the hope Samantha will lick it off, but her self-respect keeps getting in the way. "Michael Gambon is the better Dumbledore." "Wrong. So wrong," Samantha says. "Richard Harris was perfectly cast. Pure Dumbledore. Demeanor, appearance, delivery, everything." Dylan raises a skeptical eyebrow. "The court rules that you can only have an opinion on Harry Potter casting if you've been a fan longer than a year." "I may be late to this world, but I will still out Harry Potter you," Samantha says. She grabs a bowl of Bertie Bott's every flavor beans. "I propose a Triwizard Trivia Tournament. If you get a question right, you choose your own bean. If you get it wrong, someone chooses for you." I play along even though my heart's not really in it. If I could ace chemistry questions the way I'm slaying this Harry Potter trivia, I would have never been in this mess with Arthur because I wouldn't have been stuck in summer school with Hudson in the first place. Where the fuck is a time turner when you need one? I would go back in time and never date Hudson. Maybe not even be his friend at all, knowing that's where it started. But then I wouldn't have been at the post office with the breakup box to meet Arthur. Not like that was a happy ending either. Dylan gags on a vomit-flavored bean as I watch the movie. Ron's pet rat Scabbers comes on the screen, and I think about Arthur singing Ben during karaoke. Things weren't easy then, but they were simpler. Sorry was enough to keep it moving. But now Arthur has unfollowed me on Instagram and probably enlisted Namrata and Juliet on putting together restraining orders. "I'm seriously the worst," I say. I take a swig of the butterbeer, which we'd planned on spiking with rum, thinking Dylan's very Irish parents wouldn't care. But all bets were off on that because they don't want Samantha buzzed on the way home. I ruined everything. Something good with Arthur, how much he loves New York. He'll probably never want to come back, and I really wanted him to come back. Samantha puts down a bean and sits in front of me. "You've done everything you can right now. He might just need some more time." "I haven't gone to his house," I say. "Or job." "Let's not do that." "Why not? No one invited him to my school." "No, but you're dating," Samantha says. I can't believe how quickly everything has gone with Arthur. Strangers to boyfriends to exes. We wouldn't be exes if Arthur hadn't tried to surprise me. But that's who he is. Someone who goes the extra step. Someone who puts up a poster to find a boy from a city he doesn't live in, even though he's not here to stay. "I know it couldn't last anyway," I say.
"He was only here for another week, right?" Dylan says. "Yeah, but nothing lasts. Me and Hudson didn't last. Me and Arthur didn't last. You and Harriet didn't last. You guys won't last. Nothing lasts." Dylan gestures at himself and Samantha. "No need to bring us into this, Benison." "Dee, I'm just saying. We all talk a big game like the universe is actually setting us up for something epic, and then everything ends. If we were all just a little more realistic, we wouldn't keep losing people. Samantha stands. I'm going to, get more butterbeer. She walks out of Dylan's bedroom. Dude, Big Ben. The fuck? What? You telling me my relationship with my girlfriend isn't going to last? In front of my girlfriend. Like she wasn't standing right there, which she was. Yeah, but for how long is it going to last? Hopefully a long time. But probably not. You're hyping up this relationship like last time, and you're just going to disappoint Samantha like you did Harriet. Dylan pauses Sorcerer's Stone, which, wow, dude never pauses a game, but he's pausing a movie we've seen over a dozen times. It's different with Samantha. She's, what? She's special? Yeah, well, I know some other girls who were special. Gabriella, and Heather, and Natalia, and Zoe, and Harriet. That's your pattern. You make your jokes about it being meant to be, and you move on. You have no idea what I'm going through right now. Samantha comes back and grabs her phone off the desk. I'm going to head out. Nope, I'm out, I say, getting up. Good. Maybe you can go act like you're the victim with someone who doesn't know better, Dylan says. You're the one who broke Arthur's heart, Ben, and ended things with Hudson, never the other way around. You get to be hurt, but don't play dumb like you're any better than me. That's me. Stupid summer school, Ben. What? Whatever. I don't want to be here. I lock eyes with Dylan. You don't need your best friend when you've got your future wife around, so I'll just talk to you again in a couple weeks when this is over. No idea where my best friend has gone, but I'm definitely glad the dickhead who looks like him is leaving, Dylan says. He takes Samantha's hand and turns his back on me. I rush out and, wow, I have pushed everyone out of my life. Not pushed, shoved. No Samantha, no Dylan, no Arthur. But maybe I don't have to be alone. I know I'm not supposed to go see him. That's common sense. But I'm not ready to go home. I get to his building and I text him that I'm downstairs and I really hope he's here. Down in a sec, he says immediately. And yep, Hudson is in the lobby pretty quickly. He tried talking to me at school this morning, but I pushed him away because he's the reason I'm in this mess in the first place. Nope. I am. Dylan is right. We're both heartbreakers. He's just playing dumb. Dylan and I will be friends again in no time, and he'll say, I told you so. And I'll say, you did. And he'll say, more sexy time for us now that we're single again. And we'll be all good. But right now, I look around to make sure Arthur doesn't pop up somewhere. And when I don't see him, I hug Hudson, and I cry so damn hard.
Chapter 29. Arthur. Wednesday, August 1st. How's this for pathetic? Me in pajama pants and a questionably clean t-shirt from Mom's law firm picnic, smeared in Cheeto dust, on the couch watching YouTube videos of Pokemon dancing to Kesha songs. I've reached the summit of Suck Mountain. Peak Suck. Suck Everest. Watch me take Suck to new and exciting elevations. The good news is that Charizard can really fucking dance. But wow, I haven't had an actual conversation in days. Dad's in Atlanta for a job interview, and Mom's been working late every single day. And of course, I'm out sick again. Hopefully, forever. It doesn't even feel like a lie at this point. Mom walks in around 8, perching beside me on the arm of the couch. Honey, how are you feeling? I force a cough, but it morphs into a choke halfway through. So, not good? Not good, I confirm. She presses a hand to my forehead. No fever, though. We'll keep an eye on it. She smooths my hair. You gonna be okay this weekend? I hate leaving you alone on your birthday. It's fine. I mean, here's the thing. My birthday's Saturday. Mom's driving upstate tomorrow morning for a brunch of depositions and meetings. She's not coming back until Monday, and Dad's not back until Monday either, so I'll be spending my 17th birthday alone in Uncle Milton's apartment. Of course, the worst part is knowing it could have been the most epic birthday ever. This could have been a fucking honeymoon weekend with Ben. No parents, apartment wide open, just me and 36 condoms and my beautiful sweet boyfriend, otherwise known as my asshole ex-boyfriend. I'm giving Namrata and Juliet your number, okay? I'll have them check in on you. I shrug. We're both silent. Mom clears her throat. So, do you want to talk about... Nope. I mean, what would I even say? Too bad I won't be losing my virginity while you're gone, Mom, because Ben broke my fucking heart and now I'm single and alone. Here, have 6 boxes of condoms. I'll literally never need them. Well, if you change your mind, she says, pursing her lips. Here we go. I don't know, Arthur. Your dad and I are just so worried about you. Okay, you don't have to do that. Do what? The whole parental unity game. Your dad and I. Come on. Sweetie, you know what's awesome? The way everyone, every single one of you just walks around lying to me. All the time. Because, oh, it's Arthur and he can't handle our scary big secrets. I thrust my palms up. You guys want to get a divorce? Fine, just fucking tell me. Mom's mouth falls open. Divorce? Come on. Arthur, what? Your dad and I are fine. You're not fine. She peers at me strangely. How long have you been stressing about this? Since forever. You've been fighting nonstop all summer. Sweetie, no. It's just been kind of a tough time with your dad being out of work and, oh, believe me, I'm up to date. You need to learn how to have quieter fights. It's like someone sucked all the air from the room. I stare at my hands. I swear I can hear my heartbeat. Okay, why don't we call your dad? Right now? I groan, covering my face. She presses the phone to her ear and stands, murmuring something under her breath, but I don't even try to eavesdrop. I'm tired of caring about this. I'm tired of trying. That's what I need to do. Stop giving a shit and stop trying. Just like my parents stopped trying with each other. Just like Ben stopped trying with me. Ben, who texted me once. Literally once. And there you have it. That's how hard he was willing to fight for me. But why would he fight? Why would he fight for a boy who's moving back to Georgia when he's had Hudson sitting 2 feet away from him all summer? And yeah, I know he can't control that, but he lied about it. Every single day. Every word he's ever said. He never even mailed the box. Mom steps back into the living room and hands me her phone. Here's Dad. He's on speaker. Hi, I say flatly. So, who told you we're getting divorced? He sounds amused, which is annoying. Well, seeing as you can't even go 5 minutes without being assholes to each other, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. Wow. Mom sits back down on the couch and hooks her arm around me. Don't hold back. Dad laughs. Kiddo, we're not getting divorced. You can tell me. Just be honest. We are being honest. Mom shakes her head. Arthur, we've always argued. That's just us. We're not perfect. Relationships are messy. You and Ben haven't been 100% smooth sailing. This isn't about Ben. Art, I'm just saying, things get stressful. You mess up. You say the wrong thing. You get on each other's nerves. But you guys are married. You should have your shit together. Mom does this choked little laugh. And when I glance up at her, she's grinning full force at Dad's name on the phone screen. So, that's a little disorienting. It's like catching Valjean and Javert holding hands. But maybe my parents are really a Saturday night on the sofa kind of couple, and an arguing over stupid shit kind of couple. Maybe they're both. So you're just a regular mess? I say finally. Not a pending divorce mess? Regular hot mess. Standard issue, says Dad. Mom hugs me sideways. Maybe you should give your hot mess another chance to explain himself. Psh, that's different. Oh, Arthur, if you say so. Maybe the universe doesn't hate all of Team Seuss, but it definitely hates me.
Chapter 30. Ben. Hanging out with Hudson and Harriet has felt pretty easy. It's sort of like when I put away my winter boots because it was spring again, and I got to slip back into last year's sneakers. I grew a little bit, but they still fit. We've been catching up and filling in the blanks on everything that's been going on since Hudson and I split. Though we're not bringing up our breakup at all. Even last night when I went over to Hudson's, he was just listening to me whine about Arthur and Dylan. He's being the friend he used to be. I'm living for Mr. Hayes' Instagram, Harriet says as we step out of the frozen yogurt store, a smoothie in one hand and her phone in the other. I didn't know he has one. When you have a face like Mr. Hayes, your Instagram magically appears. On a bench with Harriet in the middle, we lean in as she scrolls through Mr. Hayes' Instagram profile. I expected rows and rows of shirtless selfies, and while some definitely exist, everything else is motivational, like removing the clutter in your home and living minimalistically and balanced breakfasts and this mega cheeseburger he conquered in Germany. See? He's living his best life, Harriet says. Just look at his feed. He's been to so many countries. Prepare for my Instagram to be nothing but ads for organic baby food and sugar-free gum and goat milk shampoo because I have to save up so I can unleash myself on the world. Then you'll return to a life of selfies? Hudson asks. The onslaught of selfies is really important. If I go 2 minutes on Instagram without seeing your face, I'd probably forget what you look like. You won't be selfie-shaming when you see pictures of me flying solo on boats and on mountains and on hot guys' laps. You wouldn't want to travel, buddy? I ask. If I had the money to see the world, I'd want Dylan there. He's in all my other stories, and I'd want him in all the new ones, too, when things settle down again. If they do. Are you volunteering your company? Yeah, right, I chuckle. Harriet's parents have well-paying jobs, and they love spoiling her. I can't side hustle with my Instagram. Down the line, I mean, Harriet says. After you've sold your book and you're raking in that Netflix and amusement park money. No pressure. The Wicked Wizard War feels like such a waste now. Arthur was my biggest fan, and I doubt anyone would love the story as much as Arthur does. And he was my boyfriend. If I wanted to post somewhere public, like Wattpad, I would be opening myself up to feedback from strangers who won't care if this is the story of my heart. Just saying. We really missed you, Ben, Harriet says. Hudson shoots her a look. What? Let's stop acting like there isn't a big gay elephant in the room and try to move on. She holds her hands. We're all friends, right? Not all of us, but I say right anyway. Yeah, Hudson says. I hope he means it. So, let's be friends again, Harriet says. I wonder if she misses Dylan at all. What are you going to do about Arthur? Reach out? Move on? Let us know where you stand so we can support you. I wish Arthur would give me a chance to explain. I know it's kind of pointless because he's leaving, but I don't want him leaving like this. And Dylan... I turn to Harriet, who gestures for me to go on. I stepped out of line. But I also told the truth. I just think everything would be simpler if I could have my boyfriend and all my friends and not feel like people always have to choose one or the other. I shut down right there because we've been here before. After Dylan broke up with Harriet, being Harriet's friend was weird for Dylan, and me trying to be Hudson's friend was weird for Arthur.
but maybe this isn't how life works. Maybe it's all about people coming into your life for a little while, and you take what they give you and use it on your next friendship or relationship. And if you're lucky, maybe some people pop back in after you thought they were gone for good. Like Hudson and Harriet. And maybe this is the do-over I needed all along.
Chapter 31. Arthur. Friday, August 3rd. Just me and you tomorrow, Obama. Alone in Uncle Milton's apartment, surrounded by horses with only the Grubhub delivery guy for company. I may actually print a picture of Barack's face and tape it to a popsicle stick, because even if I'm single with no friends or parents in sight, at least I can spend the day partying with my president. And I bet you think I'm kidding, but guess who overcame sickness and showed up at work just to use the color printer? Arthur, you're depressing me, says Namrata. I didn't say anything. I know, it's freaking me out. I shrug and turn back to the Bray Eliopoulos files, which are numbingly boring as ever. Maybe I'm feeling masochistic, or maybe I've unlocked the secret, and this is how people focus. All you have to do is have a cute boy rip your heart out, then let your best friend stomp all over it. And if it's still beating, even a little bit, finish the job yourself. Say the worst things and yell your voice raw and destroy everything you love until, lo and behold, the monotony of work is a relief. Because if you're balls deep in Bray Eliopoulos, at least you can't think about your ex-boyfriend. Your unsoulmate. The guy who bailed in the middle of Act Two. What's the plan for tomorrow? Juliet turns to Namrata. I look up. What's tomorrow? David's roommates are having a goodbye party, says Namrata. The Dinosaurotica guys? Jurassian Passion? Yeah, and I can't fucking wait. I'm shedding no tears over that departure. Namrata leans back in her chair. Jules, we're heading up there together, right? Up where? I ask. Upper West Side. David goes to Columbia. Oh, that's near me. Neither of them speak. So? Party, huh? Juliet nods. It's pretty small though, right? Yeah, just in their apartment, Namrata says. Sounds fun, I say slowly, and then I press my lips together, because it's not like I'm about to sit here begging for an invite to a random party on my own birthday. God, even I'm not that uncool. Wait, I am that uncool. Maybe I could stop by? I ask casually. Juliet and Namrata glance at each other. Or not. Arthur, look, it's not personal, Juliet says. There's going to be booze there. I'm comfortable with that. Well, I'm not. You're not comfortable with booze? I'm not comfortable with rolling into a boozy party with my boss's underage son. Ha. I grin. I hear you. I wouldn't actually drink, but my parents have a liquor cabinet, so I could make something, like a candy corn martini. No, like Namrata and I could legit get fired for that. Yeah, not happening, Namrata says. Even on my birthday? And there it is. My Hail Mary. Namrata softens. It's your birthday? Tomorrow is. Oh, Arthur, Juliet bites her lip. We can't bring you to this, though. You get that, right? Yeah, I... never mind. But seriously, you don't want to hang out with the dinosaur guys anyway. You should do something fun with Ben. And wow, now I'm about to start crying at the conference table. I just stare at my hands, blinking. Fantastic. Okay, that's not the reaction I was expecting, Juliet says carefully. Do you want to talk about it? No. Juliet and Namrata exchange glances again. But I don't care. Let them feel bad. I have no shits left to give. Dad's in Atlanta, Mom's halfway to Canandaigua, Ethan and Jesse are probably making out behind Starbucks, and my only two friends in this whole stupid city are spending my birthday at a party in my neighborhood without me. My 17th birthday. Maybe on some planets, that's the kind of thing people look forward to. But all I can think about is Hudson and Ben passing love notes in class. Ben's Instagram, which is 56 versions of Hudson's face. Hudson's name on a shipping label for a box that was never sent. I think about the giant, gaping hole in my heart. Exactly the size of Ben's fist.
Chapter 32. Ben. Saturday, August 4th. I'm at this low-key coffee shop with Hudson since our exam is on Tuesday, and I really need a solid study session to handle my weak spots. A couple times I thought I saw Dylan waltzing in, but it wasn't him. That's for the best. I'm not sure Harriet running off an hour ago to celebrate a friend's birthday and leaving me alone with Hudson was for the best, though. I mean, we were fine that night after my showdown with Dylan, but it's just us again for the first time. We're sitting side by side on stools. We've been quizzing each other, but the only answers I care about are all Arthur-related. How is he celebrating his birthday? Who's making him feel like a king? Namrata and Juliet? Will texting a happy birthday ruin his day? Does he hate me? Earth to Ben, Hudson says, waving. Sorry. Arthur. Yep. Hard to focus. Hudson and Harriet don't know it's Arthur's birthday. I just jumped into study group so I wouldn't stay home and play Sims. Last night, my Sim counterpart gave flowers to Sim Arthur and got rejected. Because fuck my lives, right? Real and digital. It's become really obvious that no one can hurt you if they can't talk to you. So I just locked Sim Ben in a room with no doors or windows. He'll run out of oxygen eventually, but at least no one is breaking his heart. Today is Arthur's birthday. Did you make him something? Hudson asks. You're a birthday pro. For Hudson's birthday, I teamed up with Dylan to draw Hudson in Wonder Woman's armor, since she's his favorite superhero. I wonder if he threw that one out or not. I wrote Arthur into the Wicked Wizard War, I say. I finished the chapter last night after I was done with my homework. I was planning on emailing the chapter to Arthur at midnight, but I couldn't get myself to send another message he would ignore. I actually shared the book with him. Wow, that's huge. You must have really liked him. Hudson asked to read TWWW a couple times, but never as passionately as Arthur did. Not sharing something so personal to me with the guy I was dating should have been a red flag about how positive I felt about our future. I'm guessing Hudsonian got the axe? Locked away in a dungeon, I say. Cool, Hudson says. You should just text Arthur. You won't feel better until you do. I know I should. But it feels like I'm programmed to do the wrong thing. I walked away from Arthur when we first met. I took too long to open up and earn his trust. I was always late. I never threw away that fucking box. And now he wants nothing to do with me. What box? Hudson asks. No point hiding anything. On the first day of summer school, I brought a box of everything you gave me, but you didn't show up, so I was going to mail it to you, and then I met Arthur at the post office. But I didn't mail it because... Because what? I was still holding out hope. I shouldn't be talking about this, but I can't help myself. These are all the words I've been thinking but couldn't say out loud. Not to Hudson. Not even to myself. Where's the box now? In my mom's closet. What are you going to do with it? My phone rings. It's Dylan. I screen his call. I saw his Instagram post earlier, and I don't need to pick up so he can not so casually remind me how well things are going with Samantha. I don't know how to tell Hudson that I want to throw away a box of things that used to mean everything to me. But that fucking box... I can't keep treating it like something that belongs in a museum's exhibit specializing in one guy's history of breaking hearts. I don't know,
I'm kind of happy to hear you say that, Ben.
Why?
My phone rings again. I don't know this number, so I can screen this call too.
Same reason you never mailed it, he says.
Hope?
Hudson leans in, like he thinks we're about to kiss.
My phone buzzes. This time it's a text from that unknown number.
Ben, it's Samantha. Call me. Dylan is in the hospital.
Holy shit. I call Samantha back immediately. While it's ringing, I tell Hudson that Dylan is in the hospital. He's asking me what's going on, but all I can think about are the different things that could have happened. Coffee burn, or car accident, or jumped by some stranger because he was being too Dylan in a place where that gets you hit, or something too scary to even think to myself.
Ben?
Samantha answers.
What happened? Is he okay?
His heart, Samantha says, and she sounds like she's fighting for her air herself.
We had to rush him to the hospital.
Where are you? What hospital?
New York Presbyterian. His parents are on the way. Are you coming?
Of course. The fact that she has to ask makes me feel like the worst best friend ever. I'll be there as soon as I can, I say, walking toward the train station already. I hang up and Hudson catches up to me. Dylan's heart is being stupid and I gotta get to him. I'm about to cry, because holy shit, the universe might be setting me up for a painful goodbye.
Where?
Presbyterian.
That should only take us 20 minutes, maybe 10 if we can catch an express train.
No, I have to go. Not alone, because I don't want to be alone, but I don't need Hudson there.
It's okay. You don't have to go. He was my friend too,
Hudson says.
But he's my brother.
And that's that. Hudson nods. I'll let you know how he's doing, I say as I take off. Nothing's going to happen to Dylan. He's going to be fine. It's Dylan. Nothing ever holds him down. But it still hurts to picture him in a hospital bed. I need him to know that I was there if... No. Dylan is going to be okay. He's going to be okay. One stop away from the hospital, and the train is stuck underground because fuck you, universe. It's hard to keep calm. He just had his appointment where his doctor said he was low risk for any attack like this.
Yeah, he's going to be fine. It's Dylan. Nothing ever holds him down.
I have to talk to someone. My phone has service since we're close enough to the next station, and I type out a text to Arthur. Dylan is in the hospital. IDK everything yet, but his heart is acting up. I haven't been this scared in a long time. It's Dylan, you know? I was a total dick to him a couple days ago because I'm an asshole, and I never really took his heart thing that seriously, but maybe I should have, and I'm fucking terrified. And I'm fucking stuck underground because the MTA gods are still the worst. I know you don't want to hear from me, but you're the only person I want to talk to right now. I'm sorry, Arthur. Happy birthday. I hope hearing from me doesn't ruin your day. I send the text. And I wait. I wait to see if he'll respond. I wait for the train to move. Maybe I should just walk it. Just go outside and take my chances on the tracks. I can use my phone light to scare away rats and guide the way. My phone buzzes. Arthur.
Oh, shit. Okay. Who's there with him? He's not alone, right?
That's the scariest thought. Dylan being all alone with all this going on. No one at his side who isn't a doctor or a nurse. Thankfully, someone important is with him. Samantha is there. His parents are on the way. They're like a quick taxi from Presbyterian Hospital.
Anything I can do?
Arthur asks. Stay with me. I'm not going anywhere, he says. And a couple minutes go by without either of us saying anything. But I trust that wherever Arthur is, he's on his phone, keeping me company. He's sticking around.
What happened with Dylan? The argument, I mean. I told him that relationships never last. Do you actually believe that? Of course not. That was the heartbreak talking. Relationships just don't last when there's an idiot in the mix. I really messed up, Arthur. I just wish I could have done everything differently. Told you at the very beginning that I was in summer school with Hudson, but I promise you that everything I said on Monday was true. We were just going to talk. Arthur isn't typing anything back. I know he's still there, but I want to know what he's thinking. I have to be honest. I've been hanging with Hudson and Harriet. They used to be my friends, and they were the only people I could turn to after ruining things with you and Dylan and Samantha. And I talked about you all the time. And then today, it was just me and Hudson, and I was beating myself up some more, and Hudson tried to kiss me, and I pulled away because I'm only into you. The train starts moving, and I send another text. I'm not sorry for having an ex-boyfriend, but I'm sorry for letting him get in the way of you trusting me. I hope you believe me. The train stops at the station, and right before the doors open, my phone buzzes again. I have this dread. Arthur telling me to fuck off, Samantha telling me the worst news, but it's something good in all this chaos. I believe you, Ben. I run into the waiting room and Samantha is leaning back in a chair with her head on the wall. Samantha! Ben! She hops up, and even though I don't deserve it, she hugs me. I look around. How's it going? Where are his parents? Grabbing coffee. The fuck? Dylan is dying. He's okay, he's okay. It was a false alarm. Panic attack. Really bad panic attack. We just found out like 5 minutes ago. I was going to text you, but... Samantha takes a deep breath. I needed a moment. I will never forget the way he panicked when his heart rate started speeding up. I hug her when she's tearing up. I know the face she's talking about. When Dylan was admitted overnight 3 years ago for a heart scare, I was really bummed I couldn't stay there with him, so I skipped school the next day to hang out. I'm sorry you had to see that, but I'm happy you were there. I take a step back. Thanks for telling me. I didn't think twice. I know Dylan has a reputation, and I know you were looking out for me. He doesn't deserve you, I say with a smile. Of course not, but he's stuck with me. At least for another couple weeks, she jokes. I'm sorry I said that. I'm really rooting for you both. I just feel threatened. We take a seat, and she shakes her head. No way. He's obsessed with you. He talks about you as much as I go home and talk about him to my parents. Which he doesn't know I do, by the way. I'm being careful, even though it's hard to keep my chill sometimes. When you spend time with Arthur, you're pretty familiar with no chill. But Arthur and I didn't have the time, Dylan and Samantha do, to take it slow. I wonder what our relationship could have looked like if Arthur lived here. Sure, it's going somewhere, I say. If that counts for anything. It does. Big time. Dylan's parents come through with coffee, and we catch up for a bit before they go in and see Dylan first. Samantha and I hang out, and I tell her all about the almost kiss with Hudson. It feels odd telling her before Dylan, but I snap out of it. No reason my best friend's girlfriend shouldn't be my best friend too. We're all going to be rotating around each other anyway. When his parents come back to the waiting room to do some paperwork, Samantha and I get up to see him at the same time. You go first, I say. Let's go together. So we do. We enter the emergency room, passing a patient's curtained-off cubicle before reaching Dylan. And wow, what a sight. My loves! Dylan's voice is raspy and kind of hot. He looks pale and just overall pleased with himself. Death tried to have its way with me, and I flipped the sumbitch off. I have afterlife spoilers. Samantha shakes her head as she approaches his bedside and hugs him. You had a panic attack,
Dylan turns to me.
Don't believe Samantha. She's trying to ruin my good name.
I'm not even going to shut you up, Samantha says.
I have just conquered death. There's no such thing as shutting me up.
I watch his face as he hugs her back, the way his eyes close and lose a lot of his electric Dylan-ness. None of the arrogance, just pure relief he's still alive and able to hold his girlfriend again. It's really sweet. I can't wait to make fun of him. I'm so happy I get to make fun of him. I hug my best friend. Thanks for not dying, I say. And I mean it. Because, yeah, it was a false alarm. But I know it felt real to Dylan. It scares him when his heart beats fast. I don't blame him for hauling ass to the ER. I'm glad he did. Better a million false alarms than the alternative.
I had to come back. Our last words to each other were trash, and we would have been some bad cliche. And I'm too iconic for such nonsense.
Very iconic. The most iconic.
Speaking of, I almost died living a lie, Dylan says.
He takes Samantha's hand.
So hear me out. Dreamin' Bean coffee is just in my blood. Cool Coffee's coffee doesn't do it for me. You're so passionate about the money being donated to charities, but I have to be honest about buying my coffee elsewhere.
Samantha squints.
What? I don't care. You do you.
Really?
Very really, Samantha says.
This was never a real problem, Dee, I say.
Were you actually stressed about this? Samantha says.
Yes, very much.
She shakes her head and kisses him on the forehead.
You're ridiculous.
She takes his hand and squeezes. My phone buzzes. I grin a little because it's Arthur. Dylan catches me.
What was that? That little smile. The fuck was that? What's happening?
You're being hysterical, I say. Let's up your drugs.
Respect your immortal best friend and tell me what's happening. I didn't go to hell and back to not be kept in the loop.
Arthur is asking how you're doing.
You guys good again?
Well, we're not boyfriends, but we're texting.
Screw texting. Go see him.
I would ask you to swear on my life that you'll be more honest with him, but we've proven today that I'm untouchable.
I will walk this world forever.
Samantha takes a step away from him. A lightning bolt is going to burst in here any second now and shut you up.
I eat lightning for breakfast.
Okay, I say. You're alive and well? So well that maybe I can meet Arthur? I know you just came back from the dead, but it's his birthday.
No way that's more superior than my resurrection, but sure.
I clap my hands. Great. Samantha, you can fill him in on all the huts and stuff, if you want. And make sure he doesn't die again to prove a point. Samantha returns to his side and takes his hand. Future husband will live to see another day. Go get your boy.
What did he just call me? Dylan asks with the biggest smile, like a kid on Christmas.
This is my cue to get out of here before you strip out of your gown, I say. I hug and kiss Dylan and Samantha and bounce. When I'm out in the hallway, I text Arthur back.
Everything is good.
Dylan is very Dylan. I take a deep breath. I really want to see you. Can I meet you somewhere? My phone buzzes.
Yeah, I'll meet you in the waiting area in 10 seconds. Don't be late.
What? I look up. There he is.
Part 3. And Only Us. Chapter 33. Arthur. I spent all this time thinking Ben was the king of chill. But I guess no one's chill when their best friend almost dies. You know how you open the door in some houses and a dog rocket launches toward you with his whole trembling body? That's Ben when he sees me. He flings his arms around me before I can say hello, and now he's just standing here hugging me like a cobra. You came. His voice breaks. Of course. He draws back a few inches, still gripping my arms, and suddenly, our eyes lock. For a moment, we just stare. So he's okay? My heart's thudding. Who? Dylan. Oh, my God. Ben scrunches his nose. I'm an idiot. Yeah, he's totally fine. It was just a really bad panic attack. He gets those. Right, I remember that. I exhale. Thank God. Yeah, his parents are dealing with paperwork, and Samantha's there. He's getting discharged soon. I nod. You should get back in there. He kicked me out. Really? Well, he smiles faintly. I kicked myself out. But I had to. Important birthday today. Barack Obama? Obviously what I meant. He disentangles our arms. Should we walk? Okay. Now we're side by side all over again. It's sort of nice. What do you think Barack's doing today to celebrate? Ben asks. Oh, he's having a party for sure. Michelle's organizing it. The girls are there. Obviously Biden's there and Trudeau. And maybe Lin-Manuel Miranda? Okay. And Ben Platt. Probably Tom Holland too. And obviously David Diggs. And Jonathan Groff. Maybe Mark Cuban? So, Obama's basically having your ideal birthday party? I'd call it a universally ideal birthday party. Ben laughs. I really missed you. Me too. I pause. Where are we going? Oh, I don't know. I should have asked you if it was even okay for me to hang. I totally get if you'd rather... Don't go. He smiles. Okay. Wanna head back to my apartment? No one's home. Oh. I blush. I just mean we could talk, if you want. I'd like that. I think I owe you a conversation. I pause. Right. I mean, ugh, sorry, we don't have to talk about this on your birthday. No, we should. I want to. We cross an intersection where everyone's honking and yelling and cussing, but somehow Ben's silence is the loudest sound of all. Okay, he says finally. I want to try to explain the Hudson thing. Is that okay? I take his hand. Yeah. It's not even about Hudson, really, he says, threading our fingers. It's just me. I'm really bad at this. Bad at what? At relationships? At feeling like I should even be in relationships? He stares straight ahead, furrowing his brow. I have this thing where if someone likes me, I feel like I tricked them into it, like I can't trust it. I'll fuck it up somehow. Like with Hudson. But Hudson's the one who fucked up. He cheated on you. Well, maybe I wasn't worth it. That's ridiculous. I lift our twined hands. I'm sorry, but how could anyone think you're not worth it? He laughs flatly. Why wouldn't they? Because you're you. Ben, God, you're funny and smart and... But I'm not. I'm not smart, okay? I mean, I don't know if you'll be able to understand this, but a lot of school things are really hard for me. My mind doesn't want to let that stuff stick. Look, I nod emphatically. I get it. I mean, I know, but Arthur, you're killing it in school. I know you have ADHD, and I'm not saying it's not hard for you, but look, you're applying to Yale. I mean, come on, you're so smart, Arthur. It's intimidating. I can't help but grin. I'm intimidating? In that way, only in that specific way. He rolls his eyes, smiling slightly. But really? Hudson and I had been a done deal for 2 weeks when you came along. And I'm like, no, no fucking way, too soon. But the universe was like, I insist. And I'm sitting there trying to resist it because you're leaving and it's pointless. And why would we even... But I don't even know, Arthur. You're just so... I'm so... What? I nudge him. Go on. Cute? Charming? Irresistible? He stops suddenly, tugging me toward a Dwayne Reed. Wait a second, okay? I need to run in there.